Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 303, stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord unto his Christ hath said, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy enemies submit to thy command. A scepter prospered by the Lord, and thy mighty hand shall wield. From Zion thou shalt rule the world, and all thy foes shall yield. 1 and 2 of Psalter 303. scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the fourth chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this evening Mr. John Vinnie, who is in the hospital, Miss Alana Outshorn, who is awaiting surgery at this time, Alyssa Arnoldusen, who is also has to have surgery on the day of tomorrow, and Dustin and Brooke Grisnick, who both continue at home with concerns. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, thou who art on high, We may commemorate in this day the crowning of all thy work, wherein thou hast given thyself in great humility to come upon this earth in a way wherein thou didst suffer all the effects of the sin of thy church, and wherein thou didst take upon thyself the load of guilt, wherein thy church did bring herself, and thou didst take it upon thyself, and thou didst bring it unto the cross. Thou didst suffer the judgment of thy Father against it, and thou hast also finished that work which was given thee to do. And now we may also read in thy holy word that thou hast entered into thy rest. And then thou hast finished that work, and thou may now rest from all thy mediatorial labors in the meriting of the salvation of thy people. And Lord, thou knowest what we await for now in this day. For we with our children are still in this world. We still dwell in the time. And we are still subject unto all miseries and to condemnation itself, if thou wilt not prevent it. O Lord, thou who hast risen from the dead and who hast ascended on high and who hast been placed at the right hand of power, oh, that thou may look upon us and upon our dear children. O Lord, that thou may come also in the days in which we live, and that thou may apply the benefits that thou hast purchased for thy church. Oh, that it may not be without fruit that thou hast done so, also in the day in which we live with our children. And then we must confess before thee what our sin is. For we leave thee days without number, and we have of our own hearts no desire after thee or the knowledge of thy ways. And where thou art at the right hand of thy Father is a place wherein our mind that cannot enter, that our thoughts do not dwell upon, that our heart does not desire by nature. For we are filled with this world and all its vanity and all its carnality. Lord, thou knowest our hearts and all that dwell therein. And we may come up unto thy house from Sabbath to Sabbath day. And sometimes may gather also in the week. And then our thoughts are directed to thy word. But when our heart does have its way by nature, then we brush it all aside and we put it away so that we may enjoy all the vain things of this world. Lord, we have no understanding. We have no right desire. We have no right comprehension. Oh, we need to be born again. And we need to be given new life, and that is all a fruit of thy own work. Oh, that thou may look upon us then in thy mercy with our children. And wilt thou come unto us, Lord, and that thou may send forth thy spirit from the place wherein thou, where thou dwellest. Wilt thou speak, O Lord, and that thou may send him forth for the instruction of our souls and for the giving of life from the dead, that there may be benefit, that there may be instruction,
Also in the ascension of thy dear Son. O come then. Come then undeservedly from our side. O come then. Come then based upon the work of thy own Son. O come then in the way of thy own decree and in thy own good pleasure. O take reasons out of thyself. And when they cannot come from our own sight, Lord, we travel to a great eternity, and the callings are about us every day. Thou knowest that our loved ones do fall on the right hand and on the left. And oh, then we cannot give ourselves even a right impression thereof. But we are so vain and so carnal. Oh, convert us, Lord. Convert us for the first time or by renewal. Draw thy people again. For thou sayest where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. And that they are to set their affections on the things above. And where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And not on the things on the earth. Oh, that thou mayst separate us then for a little while in this evening. And that indeed our hearts may be drawn to the consideration of our Maker and our Creator. But also of the Redeemer of thy church. And that our sin, that our fall may become our own guilt, Lord. Show it unto us and make it the burden of our heart. That there may be place for thy dear Son in the poverty of our soul and in the poverty of our times. Oh, look thou upon thy children. Oh, give them instruction in self and in the depth of the awful fall. That more and more they might decrease, that thou might increase. And receive all the glory and the comfort of their soul and the salvation thereof. Lord, look upon us in thy mercy. Do look upon all that are afflicted and sick. Him that lies in the hospital, Lord, thou knowest the pain yet in his body and also the concerns, oh, that thou mayst supply for him. And oh, give him health and strength again if it could please thee. And spare him for his wife and for his children and grandchildren. Lord, that thou may bless and sanctify this way. For we are wretched creatures who go on except thou stoppest us upon our madness here below. Do look upon the young friend also that is awaiting surgery. Lord, remember her in all that she must still go through in this night or in the day of tomorrow. And that thou mayst stand on her right and on her left hand in thy mercy. And that thou mayst heal her in her body. And oh, give her also an understanding heart. Concerning the need of her soul, look upon the children, and thou knowest their youth, and thou knowest the difficulties of the body, the concerns that remain. Lord, wilt thou supply for them also for her that has to receive surgery in the day of tomorrow? She is so very young, Lord. That thou mayst stand on the right and on the left in all the concerns of the parents. When such a little child will undergo a surgery, Lord, that thou mayst supply in thy mercy, strengthen parents and doctors and nurses and all that care for them. Oh, do teach us, Lord, in all these things. That our life is a vapor and that it vanishes away. And then when we also may consider a little of thy word in this evening, oh, that it may not be without meaning for us, that thou would drive away the buyers and the sellers for a moment in this night, that we may be separated from all the cares of this time, and that we may be given to meditate for a few moments upon thy holy word, that thou may come in with it, O Lord, and that thou may remember us with all our loved ones in thy mercy, and that thou may look upon us also from the place where thou art, as a nation and as a people. For thou sittest upon thy throne, and the thrones of men in this world, they have been so corrupted. And then man also, he does not want to subject himself unto authority, and not in the way of a civil government, not in the way of ecclesiastical government, not in the way of paternal government in the home. Lord, that thou may instruct us in thy mercy, and that thou may turn us again to thy law and to thy testimonies. Look thou upon us from thy high and holy place, and behold all the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth, to put away evil with thine eyes, and to remember all that are oppressed in this world. Do look from thy place upon all those that have special needs, widows, widowers, orphans, all that are handicapped, all that are oppressed, all that are abused, all that are at war. Lord, remember each and every one in thy mercy, those that have not sufficient to eat and to drink, to be clothed and sheltered in this life. And that our hearts may go out to them, and also our hands. Look thou then upon us, and govern thou from heaven thy dwelling place all things to the welfare of thy church, to the welfare of thy people, and to the welfare of thy church, and that it may be for its upbuilding and for the instruction of thy people. Wilt thou help us in the preaching in this night? Lord, stand thou in mercy on our right and on our left hand. And wilt thou give the abundance of thy Holy Spirit and thy mercy to come among us and to dwell among us and to serve us undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 183, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O Lord, and thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. Captivity thou leadest, a captive in thy train. Rich gifts to thee are offered by men who did rebel, who pray that now Jehovah, their God, with them may dwell. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 183. Thank you. Congregation, there is not one aspect of the work, and then in a very special way, the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ that is not filled with great comfort for the true church of God. When we are living in this world, here on this earth, in that same state in which we have been born, then we receive no comfort out of the holy word of God. But the Lord has given that His word may be written by His Spirit for a purpose. That is for the gathering of His church, but it is also for the instruction of His church. That is for the comfort of His church here below, as they continue on in a warfare in that church militant here below. And yet, how unable is that true church of God able to penetrate into the blessings that are laid away for that afflicted and that tried people of the Lord? Then it is as if that there is such a small portion of the comforts of that the Lord has given unto His church, that people actually may be given to see and enter into while they are in this world. And then it is not only in His humiliation, but it is also in the blessed state of His exaltation. And in the providence of the Lord, we may gather tonight for this purpose, and that we may consider for a few moments the blessed exaltation of Christ and the benefits of this exaltation for His church. And then we may ask ourselves, are those benefits and are those comforts also benefits and comforts that are for me, myself? We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider the portion that was read in this evening, Hebrews 4, and thereof verses 14 through 16. 14 through 16 of Hebrews 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So far the words of our text. An invitation to come boldly unto the throne of grace. First, to whom this invitation comes. Second, by whom this invitation comes. And third, how it is possible that this invitation comes, an invitation to come boldly unto the throne of grace. First, to whom this invitation comes. Second, by whom this invitation comes. Third, how it is possible that this invitation comes. Let us come boldly unto the throne of
grace.
Thus, who is that? Let us. Well, that is those whom Paul is addressing in this his epistle. And who is that? We read, "Wherefore, brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." Thus, to whom, children, is the Apostle Paul writing? He is writing to the Hebrews. And when he writes to the Hebrews, then he makes a distinction. A distinction between the believing Jews and the unbelieving Jews. Thus he addresses and he speaks to those who are, he says, the partakers of the heavenly calling. Thus, the partakers of that internal, that irresistible calling of the Holy Spirit. It is necessary always to distinguish that we may know in God's Word to whom that the Lord is speaking. And when the Lord is directing a particular word unto a particular people, and that we may ask, is the Lord also addressing this word unto us? Many indeed, congregation, come boldly unto the throne of grace, because we live in a world where there is so much boldness. And that is not only a boldness before men, but there is so much boldness also in the way of religion. And there is so much boldness even before the holy and the righteous God. Why? Because men do not live with an impression of who that true and that living God is. You read in the Word of God how that God's servant, he said, and that the Lord, he had heard of him by the hearing of the ear. But he said, "Now mine eye seeth thee." That was Job. Oh, he had heard of him before. His ear had heard. But now the Lord brought him, as it were, before his countenance. The Lord gave him, as it were, to see something of his greatness and of his majesty and of his holiness. And what did Job then say? He says, "But now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I repent and abhor myself in dust and in ashes." This is, congregation, what we miss by nature. So that man, with all his religion, he is so bold to come before that holy countenance of the Lord. And then, bold to come before the Lord in such a common way, the same way as we will approach one another, in such a casual manner, lacking all reverence, lacking all humility, a boldness to come before the Lord and at the same time to walk in this world as if we want to walk in the ways of sin and that we can serve the Lord at the same time. As if it is not true what the Lord says, that you cannot serve God and mammon. Thus, what a boldness. What a boldness is in the natural man. And what a boldness is also in a special way present in our days that we live in with our dear children. Oh, children, young people. And then you can be sure that if man is approaching unto God in such a bold and a casual manner, oh, that he has nothing of that true fear of the Lord before his eyes, and from such
We hope that you may turn away that is far. Oh, that is so very, very far from that boldness that the apostle is speaking about here in our text. Let us come boldly, he says, unto the throne of grace. Thus, he is speaking about that true church of God. And then he is speaking about laying the needs, all the needs of the church before that throne of the Lord. Then we may ask ourselves, who is that true church? Because if we may leave it just with these words, the true church of God, yes, then the hypocrite, he will take it for himself. That is what we are. And then God's true people, they will stand on the outside. But congregation, the Lord says here, who that his true church is, and thus you and I together, in this evening may lay ourselves next to this holy word of God. The Lord declares to whom he is speaking, and the Lord declares, who are his very own. And how does he do this? He shows out of his holy word what is laying in the heart of his church. Then the apostle Paul is not directed by the Holy Spirit to say, let my elect come boldly to the throne of grace. Then he is not directed by the Holy Spirit to say, let my true people come boldly unto the throne of grace. And why not? Because congregation, that is too high for this people. Because the true people of the Lord, and they cannot reach such a height. Or they do not hear their name. And when you will say, perhaps the elect, when you will say, perhaps, the true people of the Lord, then they will have to discount themselves and stand on the outside of that blessed invitation of the Lord by his servant. But now the Lord is inviting. The Lord is inviting to receive particular blessings. And when the Lord is inviting to receive these particular blessings, then the people of the Lord are becoming manifest who that they are, because they are not blessings that are desired by the natural man. They are not blessings that are desired by the mere professing church. They are not blessings that are desired by this world. They are not blessings desired by the hypocrite. They are not blessings that are desired by a temporary faith. How does the Lord do this? We read it in this word. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thus the Lord is identifying who this true church is. And how are they identified? They are identified by their need. They are identified by the desire that is lying in their heart. And what is their need? And what is their desire? That is mercy and grace. These, the apostle says, are the partakers of the heavenly calling. Thus, it is not a question of how high that people must come. But really, it is a question of how low that people must be brought. that we may obtain mercy. Oh, not that we may obtain riches, not that we may obtain comforts in this world, not even that we may obtain heaven, not even that we may obtain merely the blessings of God's church. Oh, yes, then that people may come before the throne of God to beseech the Lord for all the blessings that are necessary also for this world. But this is not the greatest burden of the true church of God, that we may obtain mercy. That assumes something, congregation. What does it assume? It assumes that we are miserable. Miserable. Why? Because mercy looks to those who are miserable. And that is not even as simply the being in our misery, because to be in our misery is something that belongs to the entire world. There is no one in this whole world that is not lying in their misery. But now there is more. Then there is also a knowledge of that misery. There is also a feeling sense of that misery that is assumed here. Why? Because only such ones desire to obtain mercy. For what reason are that people so miserable? They are so miserable because they are aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, because they are without God in this world, because they are from themselves outsiders, outside of that kingdom of God. Oh, what greater misery can a man experience in himself in this world? To miss the communion with our Maker, to miss our original purpose wherefore we have been created. Oh, let us lay ourselves next to it in this evening. Is that now also that misery and that is the burden of our heart? Then it is not only to lie in that misery, but it is also to feel something of the powerlessness to change it. The powerlessness to change our present condition. Then there is a church which loses all hope that they will ever be able to change their wretched state and condition. Oh, if they had an expectation that they may be able to make it different in their life, that they could change the state of their soul before God, they could bring themselves again into His favor, oh, then they would not be so miserable. Indeed, so it is it not, in that beginning life? Oh, then that misery of the people is not felt in its totality. Why not? Because there is still a desire, and there is still a thought, and there is still a hope, and still an expectation that I will be able to change my state and condition, and that I will be able to get rid of sin in life and in heart, and that I will be able to please the Lord with my good life, and that I will be able to bring myself again out of this wretched, miserable state into that blessed communion again of that God whom I have now come to love. Oh, then there is hope. But it is, congregation, a disappointing life.
a disappointing life for this people. Because the longer they live, the more that hope to deliver themselves out of this misery is coming to an end. The more that they learn of all that lies within them, the more that they despair of ever coming again into that blessed communion with God. And therefore a people who more and more, by that stripping work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord, learn what? They learn what, young people? They learn to cry for mercy. To cry for mercy, that we may obtain mercy. Do we know this in our life? That we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Also grace. What is grace? Grace, mercy that looks to the miserable. Grace that looks to the unworthy. To the unworthy. Thus, a people in their miserable condition who are unworthy of help, unworthy of mercy. Why? Because my miserable condition is my own fault. Because my miserable condition is my own sin. Not only my past sin, not only my past transgression, but also my present corruption to make me entirely unworthy. Why? Because the inner bent of my heart that is not going out after the Lord. Because that inner bent of my heart that is not going out after my Maker, but it is carnal and it is vain. Because of that leprous heart from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet. All in themselves so completely unworthy. And then in time of need, in time of need. And so Satan, he says, yes, now it is in the time of your need. And now in the time of your need, now you seek the Lord. But all your life, and when you were in health and your strength, then you had no desire for him. And now you cry, but before you did not cry. And now you are nothing but a hypocrite. And you can expect that the Lord will never hear. That we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Congregation, Paul, does he speak a strange language? Or is there a soul that may breathe now what the soul of the Apostle Paul also may breathe? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What does he say? These are the partakers of the heavenly calling. Oh, not so much a high thing as a low thing. Oh, having to do with what? Having to do with our great need. The Lord Jesus did not come to be ministered unto, but he came to minister. Oh, do you also need his ministration? Those are the partakers of the heavenly calling, an afflicted and a poor people who may learn to trust in the name of the Lord. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. No, not boldness, the boldness of those that want to continue on in sin and want to have the blessings anyway. No, but the Apostle Paul speaks here about a very different boldness. He speaks here about a boldness of those who are unworthy and yet cannot remain without God in the world. Oh, that is a boldness. That is a boldness that may be seen upon that cross of Christ. It is a boldness that may be seen on Calvary's hill. A man who has to condemn himself and who has to say we are not worthy, or we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds, unworthy, and yet the boldness. Or you can be sure that Satan, he has said to him that it is lost for you, that there is for you no hope. But now that holy boldness, that holy boldness of a man who was worthy in himself only of being cut off and cast away from the Lord forever and forever. Oh, that it would dare to still come out of his mouth, Lord, remember me. Remember me. That is now the boldness that the Apostle Paul is speaking about. He is speaking about the boldness of the centurion who says, Lord, I am not worthy. I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. I am not worthy that thou shouldest hear me. I am not worthy that I should even come to thee, that I should even speak unto thee. And yet, because of the need that was in his heart, he could not stay away. A need that is driving that people in a holy boldness to come unto the throne of grace. Or people who are invited by God's servant, a people who are invited by the Lord himself to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that they may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Then what do that people say? Oh, then they say, I cannot come. I have no ability. I have no ability to approach unto him. And I cannot come unto that throne of grace. So deep is my fall, but it is no stumbling block. And why is it no stumbling block? We see that in our second thought. By whom this invitation comes. We can invite congregation our friends. And we can send an invitation, young people and children. We can send an invitation to our friends, but it remains in their power whether they want to come or whether they do not want to come. And that we may plead with them and we may use entreaties. And maybe we set a reward before them. We try to convince them, but when their mind is set and they do not want to come, then it is all of no avail. That is, congregation, not so with the Lord. Because the will of man that is so depraved by nature, it is set. It is set against God, so that the Lord Jesus, he says, you will not. You will not come unto me, that you might have life. That is our nature. And yet, there are some that do come. How is that? How is it that there are some that do come to the Lord Jesus when their nature that is the same as the nature of every man that has no desire? Children, you read in God's Word about a man who had a withered hand. He was in the church. The Lord Jesus said to that man, stretch forth thine hand. What would happen if you had said that to that man? Or if I had said that to that man? Stretch forth thine hand. That man could never do it. And why could he never do it? You say it was withered. That man had no power to stretch forth his own hand. And when I would say to him, stretch forth thine hand, I also cannot give him the power to stretch forth his hand. Thus, when you would say it and I would say it, it is to no avail for that man. How different that was with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stretch forth thine hand. He invited him. And that man stretched forth his hand. How is that possible? Oh, it is possible because when the Lord Jesus speaks, then at the same time, he is giving power. At the same time, then he is giving the ability and he is changing the will. Thus, there will be fruit upon the word of Christ. Thus, it comes not from that man, but it comes all from him who is inviting that man to stretch forth his hand. And now what does the Lord Jesus say unto his church? Then he says, come. He says, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come, let us reason together. But he does not just give an entreaty. He does not just give an invitation. But at the same time, he is influencing the will of these people whose sins are as scarlet and who are red like crimson. Thus, with respect to that church, there is power that is going out of that word of Christ. That he is giving influence unto this people. And that is why the Lord says, all that the Father giveth me, they shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, in their need, in their great need for mercy, in their great need for grace, he is going to give them to come.
He is going to bring them to His throne of grace that they might find that grace to help them in that time of need. And therefore, upon what are that people dependent in that invitation? Oh, they are so dependent upon the power of the Lord. They are so dependent upon the will of the Lord.
And therefore, the Apostle Paul encourages that people. When he speaks to them, what does he say to them? He says, seeing then, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Oh, then he directs the attention of the people unto the Lord Jesus Christ to show them who that he is, to show them who he is in his great power. That power that they stand in need of to approach unto Him in truth and in uprightness and to receive everything out of His hand that cannot come from their own side. Oh, that all that power that is now laying on His side, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Oh, He is a high priest, He says. That is the fulfillment of all the types and of all the shadows of the Old Testament. A high priest that is anointed by the Father Himself. Or a high priest, a great high priest in an office that is given a special work by his Father. A great high priest who has offered himself as a sacrifice for the sin of his church. To put it away for those who are the most miserable and for those who are the most unworthy, who as a lamb before his shearers was dumb, did not turn away, but was just like a sheep who was led unto the slaughter. Oh, seeing, he says, oh, seeing what? Seeing your great power and ability to come to me? No. Seeing that you have nothing from your own side. Oh, seeing that you have nothing but misery, seeing you are sunk in your deep fall, seeing that you will not come unto me, seeing that you cannot come unto me. Oh, he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Oh, not a weak high priest as it was in the Old Testament, under the shadows under that law, who could not take away sin, who could not purge your conscience, who could not make you free before God? No, he says, a great high priest. Oh, who himself bare our sins in his own body upon the tree. And therefore has put away sin by that sacrifice of himself. A great high priest. Those who are miserable. Those who are so unworthy. And not only a great high priest. But he says a high priest that is now passed into the heavens. What does he do? Oh, then he speaks about the exaltation of the Son of God. Oh, he says he has been given an office. He has been ordained. He has been anointed by God himself. And he has come in the state of his humiliation. And he looked so weak and so helpless. But he has arisen from the dead. And he has ascended into the third heaven. And what is now the significance? Oh, he is in that place where all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Oh, it is so different than in the days of his humiliation. He came as a servant. He placed himself under the law. Oh, he appeared unto all men. Just as if he was so weak and under the consequences of sin, oh, they thought that he was a sinner and who had to die for his own sin just like everybody else. And now he is ascended, far above all principality and might and power and every name that is named. Oh, far above all the weakness of the flesh of man, all the weakness of the true church of God. Exceeding greatness of his power the apostle speaks about, in the place where he dwells at the right hand of his Father, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he hath wrought in Christ, when he hath raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, hath put all things under his feet, and given him to be the head of all things to his church. Oh, passed into the heavens, what a great comfort unto the church of God. Great comfort to those who have their own power. Great comfort unto those who are able to take it in their own strength. Means to them, congregation, nothing. Absolutely nothing. What an encouragement to those who are powerless in all their misery. Is that your case? Powerless to make a change. Speak about changes in this world. Maybe we have the power to do this. But to make a change here. And that relation between God and my soul. And then helpless. I must experience all my inability. For a people that cannot from their own selves, then he says, oh, he is so able. He is so able. And not only is he able, but he is also so willing. That is our third thought. Let us sing first from Psalter 194. 194 stanzas 3 through 6. The king shall come from distant lands and islands of the sea. Oblations they shall bring to him and wait on bended knee. 3 through 6 of Psalter 194. Thank you. Our third thought, how it is possible that this invitation comes, and why is the congregation that we even consider this, why is it even that we ask this question, how is it possible that this invitation even is coming? Because that misery that man is laying in by nature is not without reason. That misery that has a cause. That misery lay in the fault of man. That misery that is according to the justice of God. That was His just sentence. How is it then possible that this invitation is even coming? Oh, it is true. The Lord is able to save His church. The Lord is able to save His elect. The Lord is able to receive them again unto Himself. But He must also be willing. Is He willing? Congregation, where is the proof that He is so? The proof that He is so is in that fact that He has made that way Himself in His only begotten Son. He made Him an high priest. The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That was before that we were born. That was before that this earth was created. That was before the fall of man. That already in the council of peace, already from eternity, lying in the good pleasure of the Father to make a way for the salvation of His church. And in making Him an high priest, taking care of everything in the meriting of salvation, in the application of salvation. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Mordecai, congregation, could not go before Ahasuerus. When Mordecai would stand before that mighty king, then he would be slain. You understand, something else was necessary. It was necessary that there be someone else. It was necessary that there be a relationship. That the certainty of being received may also be made evident. Oh, it wasn't Esther that was necessary to go in before that king. The children of Israel could not stand before the Lord at Sinai. The Lord was not able to look upon the children of Israel as they were, because they were standing in their sin and in their guilt. Therefore, they dared not approach that mountain that did burn with fire and that did smoke and quake. All then it was necessary that a Moses did go before the face of the children of Israel, because he was chosen himself of the Lord. And now how is it with that miserable and with that unworthy people who are the partakers of that heavenly calling? How is it with them who can only plead for mercy and plead for grace? Oh, what is their experience? God is a consuming fire. No man shall see me and live.
and what is so necessary, a mediator. Oh, to go forth before them into the presence of that holy majesty of an angry God, to plead their cause. Oh, that one would go before them who was near of kin to him. Oh, was that not the reason that he also became a man, that he may be near of kin to them? Oh, one had to go before them who was made, we read in God's word, perfect through sufferings. That is the reason that the Apostle Paul, he says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, what is now the way that the Lord is going to bring his sons to glory, that unworthy and that miserable and that wretched people, the partakers of that heavenly calling, how will the Lord bring them in? Abraham was brought by the Lord to Canaan. The Lord made him rich. The Lord blessed him. The Lord promised him the land. The Lord promised it to his seed. But now how? How will his seed receive that land? That is not going to be in a way of continual increasing. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. That is now the way of the Lord. That is how the Lord is going to bring that people in. He is going to bring them in through a way of suffering. He is going to bring them in through a way of affliction, through a way of tribulation, through a way of dying. How must Naaman be cured? Oh, the Lord could allow his servant to come out and to strike his hand over the place and the leprosy is gone. The Lord could have done it so. Did not please the Lord to do it so. No, this man must be broken. Broken. The Lord will lead him down into that muddy Jordan. The Lord will make him willing to go in his way. That is now the way of the Lord with his church, to bring them in the dust and to make them to cry out of that great need. Why? That is the way that he is glorified. And now that wonder, oh, that they should have an high priest, we read here, that may be touched with the feeling of their infirmities, having been tempted in all points, like as they are, and yet without sin. Oh, how did Christ receive the reward that was given to him? He had to leave his place of glory, and he had to come and subject himself to all the results of sin and that load of guilt. Oh, he had to sojourn in this land
And he had to undergo the suffering that was due unto his church. And now what do we read? The Father has brought him out. And the Father has given him to sit on his right hand in that exalted place of glory. As what? As the sympathetic high priest. As one who has himself been made perfect through suffering. And who has experienced the results of the sin of his people in this world. Not only the outward miseries, not only the outward sicknesses and the pains, but that load of the guilt of sin that was placed upon him. Not his own guilt, no, but the guilt of his church. And the wrath of God that is lying upon the people because of the guilt of the church. And that he had to cry out from the result of that guilt, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is the way that he went. Made perfect through suffering. Oh, that he may be for his church a sympathetic high priest. And therefore, the Apostle Paul, he says to that afflicted church of all ages, what does he say to them? Oh, you people who are lying in your misery, you people who are so unworthy that the Lord should ever look upon you. He said, let us come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Seeing, he says, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Seeing that we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and who is now entered in within the veil, there to appear in the presence of God for us. That is why by moments that people may experience something already in this world, sometimes of a blessed communion. Oh, that sometimes they may be given to lay all their cares before him, and they may experience that he careth for them. And then there is a church, all not a hoof is going to be left behind of that wretched and that miserable people that are not able to see the reasons in themselves why that the Lord should look upon them in mercy. Oh, he has gone before them, that they also may be the partakers of that heavenly calling. For congregation, he is a high priest. He is touched with the feeling of the infirmities of his church. The infirmities of those who are groaning under a sense of their sin and of their miserable condition without God in this world. He experienced what that was. And he is touched. He is touched with the feeling of this infirmity. But when we have no such infirmity, he is not touched. He is not touched. He is not touched because of all the misery that we have to experience in this world. He is not touched because of the sorrows. He is not touched because of the grief. It is our own fault. All of it. But when we experience in our soul that we cannot be without God,
that we miss him. Oh, that is an infirmity by which he is touched. Oh, when we experience our inability to return to him, that we have no hands to take it, that we have no feet to go to him. Oh, with this he is touched. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest our hearts. All we have by nature, no desire. All give it in our hearts. And if, Lord, there are those who cannot live any more without thee, and who have no feet to go and no hands to take it, oh, that they may be given an eye upon him who invites them, and who says, let us come. Let us come boldly, despite sin, despite the chief of sinners. In heart and life, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. All look upon such ones, Lord. Make us all such ones. And that thy blessed exaltation and thy sitting at the right hand of thy Father may be a comfort unto us, may be for our advantage and profit. Forgive our many sins. Bring us safely home. For Jesus' sake, amen.
283 stanzas 2, 3, and 5. Good is the Lord, and full of kind compassion, most slow to anger, plenteous in love. Rich is his grace to all that humbly seek him. Boundless and endless as the heavens above. 2, 3, and 5 of 283.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.